All right, 1 hour. Let's do this. My friends, I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret of a lot of clergy. And it's not what you think it is. Once we become pastors, and I'm using the royal we right now, so just that you know, it's not that I'm also dissing most of my colleagues. Our prayer life drops. And when I mean drops, our prayer life outside of church becomes, oh, Jesus, help me. Or, oh, my God, I don't want to do this. And, oh, God, do I have to? And sooner or later, some of our spiritual guides and companions will tell us, you know, you really need to start praying. And it's hard to get into the habit. And I can tell you, if you think pastors have this extra spiritual thing that once we decide we have to start doing it, we start doing it, it's hard. Any study will tell you that it takes 6 weeks to pick up a new habit. 6 weeks of doing something daily, and 2 months of doing something weekly before it becomes a habit. However, if you want to drop a habit, it takes 2 weeks. Think about it. All your friends who stopped attending church because they have a couple of things to do this week and next week, and surely they will be back. You were lucky if they said that just before Christmas or Easter, but I know so many of my friends who haven't been back in years after telling me it will be only a couple of weeks. And they'll see me back. Thus is the human condition. Now, when I was preparing for this sermon, I read from The Atlantic. I don't know how many of you read The Atlantic. It's a really good journal. But one of its editors wrote that he started reading Mary Oliver after she died. He picked up a habit of reading every morning a piece of her poetry. And he says, one of these days, after 3 weeks, when it was becoming increasingly difficult, you know, if you live in New York, everything is a rush. He said, I read this beautiful line, attention is the beginning of devotion. Attention is the beginning of devotion. That's by Mary Oliver. In today's gospel, in Luke's gospel, the Lord's Prayer is not put in the context of the Sermon on the Mount like it is in Matthew. But it is roughly put in the same context because if you think about it, the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' way, his long sermon. That was his book on theology. And just after hearing Jesus, they come to him and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray because we don't know how to pray. John taught his disciples, what do you say? How should we do it? And notice the simplicity of the prayer. In fact, if you read the Greek, it's actually quite terse. You know, we say it with love and devotion, and it's beautiful. But in Greek, when you hear it, it's as terse as we read it today. It's a litany. Our Father, who art in heaven, may your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Because we forgive everyone who sins against us. Do not bring us to the time of trial, for thine is your kingdom and the power and the glory. What Jesus wants us from us as his disciples, as people who follow him, is to pray. And that is something, and I'm not trying to guilt anyone, that is something that's easily lost, very easily lost. You know, we wake up in the morning, and I know some of you, because I've tried it, some of you just say, okay, I'm going to wake up every day a little bit earlier so I have time, you know, after I brush my teeth, put on the cologne so I can sit down and read the good book. And it works for 2 or 3 days, and then something that you forgot to do in the evening creeps in. And so the time you had set aside is now taken over by something else. And yet Jesus asks us, continues to ask us without any guilt. But he says, pray. Ask God. Be in conversation with God. And again, be in conversation with God for things that matter. Come after me at coffee hour, but the Red Sox or the Patriots are not in. Give us this day our daily bread. Us, not me. Give us this day our daily bread. May your kingdom come. May the things that you speak of come. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts. It's the only conditional clause in that prayer, which kind of sets us in terms of Kaz, remember, you have to forgive people. And then you can say to God, please forgive me. Do not bring us to the time of trial. All of us at one point in life have been to a time of trial, whether it was a health issue, a work issue, a relationship issue, a love issue. All of us have one day sat down, you switched off the lights, you sit by the bed or in the living room, and you take a deep breath because that's the only way you can calm yourself, and you say, do not bring us or save us from the time of trial. For yours is the kingdom. You can do it. Now, Luke gives us an explanation Matthew does not give us with the Lord's Prayer. And he says, look, why should you pray? And he says, it's persistency. And he gives this delightful example. If you have a friend and you go to him at 12 o'clock, says, buddy, give me some food. I have friends who came over. Your buddy will say, go away. And you'll say, no, buddy, I really need it. I have nothing in my fridge. Go away. And then you go, buddy, no, I really will go away if you give me the food. He's like, fine. Jesus knows how we operate. It's not even out of friendship that you give. Your friend might not call you in the morning. But out of persistency. But the beauty of this whole passage, as I was preparing for this, lies not in the explanation that Luke gives, because between you and I, Luke very often, when he tries to explain teachings of Jesus, he gets them a little bit wrong. But at the very end of the passage, he says, ask and it will be given unto you, knock and the door shall be opened. And then at the very end, it says, if you who are evil give good things, the God who is good will give you. But he doesn't say what you asked for. God will give you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, of counsel, of understanding. How many of you have once had a prayer answered and you went, ooh, I should have thought about that before? There's an old Chinese saying, sometimes God curses us and answers our prayers. It has happened. If we are persistent, if we have a loving relationship with God so we can pray, so we ask, God will give us the Holy Spirit to ask for better things, for good things. We will be in the habit of praying. So, in conclusion, that hour has passed very quickly, hasn't it? It's summer. We're all melting. Allegedly, our timetables are less busy. It's a time when you always promise yourself you're going to clean out that closet. You never will. Let it go. Let it go. Also, in that heat, you do not want to be cleaning out that closet. But here's my suggestion. We have roughly 6 weeks until the craziness of school, September, last quarter, kicks in. Sign up to the daily devotional. It can be delivered to your email box in the morning. Pick a book of the Bible. Helpful tip, do not begin with Deuteronomy or Leviticus. Begin with Matthew or with Psalms and read a psalm or a chapter per day. When you get to 119, call me. I'll tell you how to divide it. Psalm 119. It's a long puppy. Pick up a good habit. Pick up a habit of praying. And if you don't want to pray by fixed things, just find a minute in the morning or in the evening to sit down and say the Lord's Prayer together. Do it. What else do you have to lose? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and the door shall be opened. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you when you ask for her? Amen.